Ask the Doctor is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare.
A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor.
Ask the Doctor is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare.
A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program. For its editorial content, statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
Afternoon, Jacksonville. It is 2:06 on a Saturday. Thanks for joining us. Very rainy day on the First Coast, 81 degrees in Jacksonville right now. Taking a look at the interactive radar at WOKV.com. That rain is starting to drift off to our coast, so shouldn't be as bad as it was in the last hour. But you are listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's. I'm John Engel, filling in for Tim Tompkins. This week, we are discussing primary health care. And I'm joined by Dr. Brent Beedling from St. Vincent's. Dr. Beedling, welcome.
Welcome, John. Thank you very much. And I would like to thank you for being on today, because obviously I think you do a service to our community as far as, you know, having doctors on and educating the population about their health and maybe get them a little bit more aware of their health and the priority they should take in their health.
Well, and I'm looking forward to it, too. I think I could learn a thing or two from you in the next hour. A little bit about you. So you are actually a Jacksonville native, Dr. Beedling.
I am. I grew up here on the south side, attended Jacksonville Country Day School, then went to Bowles, and then up to MIT.
Not too bad. MIT and then UF, the Florida way.
University of Florida, graduated medicine there, and then Daytona and for my residency.
Well, welcome back to Jacksonville. Now you're back home.
I love it.
And so you are at St. Vincent's, and you work in primary health care, no?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, primary care is a practice that's basically kind of a general practice. Our goals through primary care are pretty much to promote health in our community, prevent diseases with vaccinations and education, health maintenance, things like annual physicals and routine checks like colonoscopies and blood work for your cholesterol. We do some counseling as far as, you know, educating populations on how to quit smoking or maybe lose weight or eating healthy. And obviously the primary thing that we do is we diagnose acute illnesses or manage chronic illnesses that some of our patients may have.
And this is an interactive show, so we don't want to just talk at you. We want to talk with you. The phone lines are open. You can give us a call at 904-340-1045. That's 904-340-1045. And we are talking primary health care today. So huge, wide spectrum, and we're going to be hitting a variety of topics. But Dr. Beedling, let's first start talking about why is primary health care important? Why are we talking about this today?
Well, primary health care is important because we are usually the entryway into a patient's concerns regarding their health or just health in general, okay? A lot of times we have illnesses that we maybe don't know that we have, but maybe a screening may pick up. So it's always good to get the annual. And, of course, when you're sick, it's usually the primary care specialist that you see first.
And see, the first thing I wanted to talk to you about is what makes it important to develop a relationship with a primary care physician, because you see a lot of people that kind of put off going to the doctor. You don't have that schedule. You don't have that routine. And you go to maybe the doc in the box, I guess, as it's been called, or the quick walk-in clinics. What's important about developing a rapport with a primary care physician?
Well, there's a couple things that I'd like to talk about. The first thing as far as developing a relationship over time with one doctor is very important, because as you develop this relationship over time, you learn more about each other, and that gathers trust. And then your primary care specialist, who you've seen for many, many years or, you know, through a lot of medical problems or just health visits, are able to learn a little bit more about you and your priorities and maybe even a little bit about your family and needs. And they can tailor a better, you know, health advice to you. And also, you would be more likely to trust someone that you've seen and are familiar with over in time and have had good advice before, rather than someone that you kind of choose randomly or just bump into for your health care.
Well, and it's not so different from having like a family mechanic, right? The person that you're familiar with and you go to every so often when you think something's up, you can trust them and you can continue going back to them time and time again and don't think you're getting taken advantage of.
Exactly. And also, whenever there's a crisis that comes up, like, you know, that creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of panic. And I can tell you that, you know, from me as well as from my patients, when they're able to see a familiar face that have led them through some small things or even some major things in the past, boy, that really helps to reassure them, kind of decrease their anxieties and really focus on what they need to be focused on and take a positive aspect as far as the approach to the problem.
Once again, you're listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's. We are with Dr. Beedling right now, and we are talking primary health care, so the entry level of your health care experience. And we actually have a caller, Dr. Beedling. We have Branson in Mandarin. He wants to know how primary and surgeons communicate and work together. Is that right, Branson?
Yes. Let me talk to the doctor, sir. Y'all have the best station. Doctor, I was going to ask you, this is Branson from Mandarin. Explain to me, doctor, how does the primary relate to the specialist? Because I've lost a lot of weight, and they thought I had cancer, which I didn't, but I went to a gastro doctor and an oncologist, and I lost a lot of weight. How does the primary doctor interrelate with the surgeons? And I had surgery that was fine. They both interrelate great together now. Explain that, doctor. How the primary interrelates with the surgeons.
And so Branson in Mandarin is wanting to know how surgeons work with primary care physicians and how that torch can be passed from a primary care physician to more of a specialist and a surgeon who's that next step of healthcare. How do you communicate as a primary healthcare physician with your patient that you've been working with for maybe years or longer, with the surgeon that you pass them off to for more specialized care?
As far as with surgeons or any other kind of specialist, if a patient comes in to me with, say, a problem that needs to be surgically related, then, you know, obviously I want to determine, is this emergency? Do they need surgery like now? Or is this something that can be postponed? Then I have to decide, okay, now what's the level of acuteness? That is a good question, obviously. And then after I've decided, hey, this guy has a gallbladder problem and we need to get this removed within the next couple weeks, then I'll refer it to a specialist that I feel very confident that will be able to handle his problem in the community, which is nice because, you know, usually your primary care specialist who's been in the community for many, many years knows the ones that can be that are best actually for your problem. And so if it's an emergency, typically the primary care is may or may not be involved. Usually if it's an emergency, something like a hernia that's gotten tangled up and has to be seen immediately, usually then the entryway is through the emergency department, and then the emergency department contacts the surgeon, and it's pretty much done right there on the spot. It's pretty amazing how fast it can happen.
And this feeds right into our conversation that we were having about the importance of having a primary care physician, because once you develop that relationship with the patient at that entry level stage, that must be a lot more easy for that information to be passed accurately instead of from a doctor that you just met and then being referred to a surgeon, right?
That's absolutely true. And I can't tell you the number of instances where I've actually called the surgeon and told him, you know, what the concern is, and the surgeon would be able to work around, you know, the patient's schedule and everything like that and get that patient scheduled and get that patient seen in an immediate basis a little bit more so than other specialists or other accesses to care would be able to do.
And so what are some of the areas that you would pass on, that you would go from, you know, being the primary healthcare physician and working with your patient that you have that relationship with, but that you have to divert a little bit and you have to send somewhere else?
Oh, that's with many things. You know, most things a primary care specialist can handle. These are things, you know, minor colds, just routine diabetes that are pretty well controlled, lung problems, blood pressure problems. Usually we're able to do that. But when we come upon a patient that's, you know, we're really having difficulties or maybe has a problem that's a little bit more advanced, then we would go ahead and refer to the appropriate specialist. And sometimes it can be very difficult to determine who that specialist is. For example, a cough could be many different things. It could be an infectious disease person that they need to see. It could be a GI specialist because the cough is induced by reflux. It could be a pulmonologist because they have COPD or asthma and didn't know it. So, you know, just a specific symptom doesn't obviously necessitate the need to one specific specialist. So usually a primary care can get you to the correct specialist because there are so many of them.
And do you have a group of doctors that you're familiar with that you have met through throughout your career that then you are able to pass people along to? Do you have that those communications lines already established, or do you sometimes have to drum new ones up?
No, absolutely, I have them. I have a specific specialist in each field that I have a high degree of confidence in. And with my patients, obviously, I want the best for my patients. So I will send them, irregardless of where that doctor is, to the physician that I feel is best to handle their problem. The only problems that I do sometimes get into is with the new insurance and the Health Care Act. You no longer can see the doctor sometimes that your doctor wants them to see. So you have to refer to somebody on their plan. Sometimes that makes it a little bit more difficult for me to find a physician that I'm highly confident in. But that's pretty, actually, in today's world, that's rare, but it is getting harder and harder to do as this new Health Care Act gets rolled out.
Are there advantages, then, in having a primary care physician like yourself in a system like St. Vincent's where those referral lines are everywhere? It's a giant organization, whereas in a more independent, maybe, clinic or in a walk-in doctor situation, you may not have those communication lines developed between the primary care physician and that next specialist.
Absolutely, because you know a lot of times if you're coming from out of the network, a lot of times what will happen is the patient won't be able to be seen for several months. I can usually get on the phone and get them in a lot quicker. Not only that, but we do kind of intermingle through offices, so we learn about the other doctors, their philosophies, the way they treat patients, and I see my patients coming back, and I get the responses from their my patients as far as were their needs met. Did they have a good experience, and was the appropriate diagnosis and proper treatment allied?
And if people like what they're hearing right now and they want to come see you, Dr. Biedling, where can they go?
I work at the primary care on the south side. The office number is 904-450-8900, and we have some internists as well as family practitioners there, and we have a good network.
That's good. And you're listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. This is brought to you by St. Vincent's. Phone lines are open. If you have a question for Dr. Biedling, you can give us a call at 904-340-1045. That's 904-340-1045. And today we're talking about the importance of primary care physicians and primary health care in general. And Dr. Biedling, to start, you mentioned that primary health care is a great first step for any family. Why is it important to continue to see the similar face or have the similar doctor familiar with your family and your, I guess, case history and your background?
Well, let me talk a little bit about as far as the other importance of having a person that you've seen over time. A lot of time, illnesses are difficult to diagnose with just one spot view. So if you go to multiple different things like an urgent care center, then the emergency room, then see one primary care doctor at this place and another one at this place, they may only get pieces of a puzzle. So let's say one piece is red, one piece is four wheels, one piece is a hose, and another piece is a siren. Each individual provider may be able to diagnose what that problem is, but it's only going to be someone that you've seen over time and have seen all four pieces that will tell you you're dealing with a fire truck kind of a thing. So it is also very important to get a chronological history that your primary care specialist will have of your symptoms over time and how that may actually give a fuller picture of what's going on with you.
And go ahead.
And the other thing I do want to point out is when I say primary care, there are four different types of primary care. You have the family family practitioner, which is what I am, that will see all ages, okay, basically from young children all the way up to, you know, advanced age. And then and so they take a more family approach and a comprehensive approach because I often see all members of the families that I see. So I kind of get the family dynamics, which helps me. Then we have internal medicine or generalists, and they're really for adults only. They do a comprehensive approach with adults, and they're very, very good if you have a lot of chronic problems. Say you have diabetes, kidney failure, heart disease. They're a lot more comprehensive. You also have pediatricians that deal with newborns to usually teenagers, and then they usually pass them off to someone like a family practitioner. And then you also have obstetrics and gynecologists that really handle women's health.
It's been a lot of fun so far here on Ask the Doctor here at News 104.5 WOKV. It's brought to you by St. Vincent's. We'll hear more from Dr. Biedling coming up next.
We're following every development.
Three suicide bombers attacking a major airport inside Istanbul, shooting at police before eventually blowing themselves up.
With updates every 15 minutes and urgent breaking developments. News 104.5 WOKV.
At St. Vincent's, we have a long-standing tradition of serving everyone in the community, stretching all the way back to 1916, when the Daughters of Charity started what would eventually become our Riverside campus. They worked tirelessly, caring for those who struggled most. Today, that tradition lives on. Our mobile outreach ministry serves as doctor's offices on wheels, providing free care to migrant workers, families, and underserved school children in our region. Our medical mission at home brings care and compassion to the homeless and working poor, restoring hope and healing to our neglected neighbors. And our mobile mammography unit logs thousands of miles each year, delivering life-saving mammograms to thousands of women. For 100 years, we've proudly worked in the spirit of our founders, ensuring that the health needs of our entire community are met. St. Vincent's Healthcare. Above, beyond, because.
It's Rich Jones. I know as we approach 4th of July, a lot of us are spending time out with friends around the pool or maybe by the ocean, the intracoastal, any of our local lakes. Drive the whole family to where you're headed this 4th of July in a roomy van for that barbecue. Make it happen with July 4th savings. Huge pre-owned selection at Arlington Toyota. You'll shop all makes and models perfect for your July 4th bash. Plus, dozens of vehicles at Arlington are under 10 grand. That's how you get more bang for your buck on July 4th. Arlington has the best of the best with Toyota certified pre-owned selection. They do a 160-point quality assurance inspection, and Arlington Toyota has over 140 Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles in stock. So you get that pre-owned, you got to sell or trade that old vehicle, right? Arlington's going to buy your car today, guaranteed. Get an instant quote at arlingtontoyota.com. Look for the Auto Trader and Kelly Blue Book icons. Bring it into Arlington at 10939 Atlantic Boulevard. Make this 4th your best yet when you save on pre-owned at Arlington Toyota, now through July 4th only.
This Independence Day, Madden Advisory Services is proud to salute our great nation and commemorate the people who made our independence possible. This 4th of July, as you celebrate with family, friends, fireworks, and barbecue, remember to thank a veteran.
There's no place like home.
The sweet, pure flavor of hand-cranked homemade vanilla ice cream. Don't it just melt in your mind? Bring back the taste of the good old days every time you go to the store with Bluebell homemade vanilla ice cream.
A lifetime of good times shared along the way. Have yourself a Bluebell country day.
For Bluebell ice cream at all Walgreens and all S&S convenience stores.
The WOKV First Alert Forecast.
Today is a 6 on the WOKV weather meter. It is going to be hot and humid with scattered heavy showers and thunderstorms moving through the area as early as lunchtime today. Right now, temperatures are in the 80s. It is humid out there, and you can expect those storms to start to pick up after 1, 2 o'clock, and they will continue up until about sunset tonight. With your First Alert Forecast, I'm Action News Jax meteorologist Aaron Clanahan for News 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. It's brought to you by St. Vincent's. We're here with Dr. Brent Beedling. There we go. And we're talking about primary health care physicians and primary health care in general today, Dr. Beedling. And we want to hear from you if you've got a question for the doctor. Phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. That's 904-340-1045. And Dr. Beedling, we're talking a lot about the things that you should go see a primary health care physician with, the certain symptoms and things that you're seeing that you might have some questions about.
Well, when you go in to see a primary care, the first thing you think about is if you got a sore throat, cough, you feel sick, go see your primary care. We often treat like chronic problems like high blood pressure, cholesterol, manage diabetes, also annual physical. Most health insurance, well, actually in today's world, I think all health insurances afford you a free physical. So go in, get some routine checkup labs maybe, get your blood pressure checked, see what vaccinations you may need. Other things are, you know, to advise for healthy habits, such as, doctor, how do I eat healthy? What's the best sleeping, what's the best sleeping hygiene to help me get a good night's sleep? How many hours do I need? Also, a health coach. Often primary cares are the first place to go if you want to quit smoking or if you want to lose weight. So we can actually kind of coach you up on how to do it. You have to own it, but obviously your primary care can coach it. Also, fact check, because, you know, everybody today is kind of like, you know, a Dr. Google, you got your doctor coworker, you got your doctor sister-in-law, you got your doctor mother that's going to say, hey, you got this, or you got this problem, you need to do this. And sometimes you just need a little reassurance. Often I'll have a patient who will come in and say, you know, my coworker said that, you know, that the lump that I have here, you know, her sister had it and she got cancer. And although that lump has been there for years and years and years, all of a sudden, you know, the coworker has got her thinking, you know, maybe she has a cancer. So sometimes just to go in and to check with the doctor and say, hey, is this anything that I need to worry about? Sometimes that gives you a little bit of peace of mind. So those are some of the things that, you know, most of my patients come in for that I see on a regular basis.
Well, and you have nothing to lose either. I mean, it's like kicking the tires around. Once in a while, it's good to have someone who actually knows what they're talking about give you some perspective.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about your financial problems, you go to a financial advisor. If you have law problems, you go to a specialist, a lawyer. And if you have health problems, which I think take priority over everything, obviously in the field that I'm in, that's why I chose it, then I would go see a doctor.
And we have time for one caller real quick before we get a break here. We have Dale on the north side. Dale has a question for Dr. Beedling about hernias. Dale, what do you have?
Yeah, I had a gallbladder removed 5-10 years ago, and I guess they went through the belly button, and now I've got a very big protruding belly button, size 50 cent size.
You got in. Yeah, Dale, hi. That's a good question. Yes, you've got what we call an outie rather than an innie now. Is that correct?
It's a big outie.
Yeah, we call that an umbilical hernia. You're absolutely correct. I would say that if it bothers you, you can go see a surgeon and you go see your primary care and we can get you into a very good one and they can put in a little bit of mesh for you. It wouldn't be a big surgery. Are you overweight, Dale?
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, if you lost a little bit of weight, it would probably be less of an outie. If it doesn't cause you any pain, then you probably don't need to do anything about it, but you probably should see a doctor just to make sure that you don't need to get it taken care of.
And we appreciate you giving us a call, Dale. He's on the north side. That was a great call. Dr. Beedling is taking your calls for the rest of the hour. We are here with Ask the Doctor on News 104.5 WOKV, presented by St. Vincent's. We'll be right back.
News 104.5 has the most frequent updates.
Traffic matters to me.
Jacksonville's most frequent traffic. This is News 104.5 WOKV.
It's the 1/4 of July sale you don't want to miss. Mattress One's 4th of July $1 sale. Buy a mattress and get all-American $1 deals. Like a box spring, just $1. Memory foam pillow, just $1. Elevate and save up to $800 on a Serta adjustable set. Save up to $600 on select Beautyrest, Stearns & Foster, Sealy Posturepedic, and Optimum sets. Plus zero interest for up to 5 years. For the best selection and the lowest prices, we're the one. Visit MattressOne.com to find a store near you.
Fox
News Radio. I'm Paul Stevens. Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton interviewed by the FBI today in connection with her use of a personal email server.
Her aides say it was voluntary. The meeting lasted 3.5 hours, we're told. The Clinton campaign would like to put this day behind them. They had been expecting that Hillary Clinton would be called by the FBI as part of this investigation.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin in Washington. More details now on an overnight terror attack in Bangladesh.
The attack happened in a busy cafe in Dhaka, which is popular with foreigners and wealthy Bangladeshis, and it seems that these people were the targets. Now, the White House has confirmed that sadly one U.S. citizen was amongst the dead. It's believed that three of the victims were studying in the U.S.
Fox's Kitty Logan, ISIS militants claiming responsibility for that attack. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Accuracy is part of our DNA. This is Clark Howard. And at News 104.5 WOKV, we know that we have to get it right and stick to the facts to earn your trust in all of our news.
At St. Vincent's, we have a long-standing tradition of serving everyone in the community, stretching all the way back to 1916, when the Daughters of Charity started what would eventually become our Riverside campus. They worked tirelessly, caring for those who struggled most. Today, that tradition lives on. Our mobile outreach ministry serves as doctor's offices on wheels, providing free care to migrant workers, families, and underserved school children in our region. Our medical mission at home brings care and compassion to the homeless and working poor, restoring hope and healing to our neglected neighbors. And our mobile mammography unit logs thousands of miles each year, delivering life-saving mammograms to thousands of women. For 100 years, we've proudly worked in the spirit of our founders, ensuring that the health needs of our entire community are met. St. Vincent's Healthcare, above, beyond, because.
Hey folks, have you ever had a professional carpet cleaner come out just to find that the carpets look dirty again in a few weeks? Hey, did you know that this is caused by soapy residue that's left behind in the carpet? Now with Zero Res, your carpets will be left fresh and clean with no dirt attracting residue. And did you know that Zero Res was recently named number one in the country for customer satisfaction now for the fourth year in a row? So call Zero Res today to clean your carpets, your tile, your grout, your furniture, your fine oriental rugs. Simply the best process, the best equipment, the best people. So call Zero Res today and get three rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129. And if you mention my name, Sean Hannity, that I sent you, you'll get an additional room of carpet cleaned for free. That's right, the fourth room is on me. Call today. It's free. Call Zero Res at 904-287-5727. That's 904-287-5727. Zero Res, spelled backwards or forwards. It's just the right way to clean.
The WOKV First Alert Forecast.
The holiday weekend is starting off hot and humid. Temperatures right now in the 80s. Skies are partly sunny, and we will see scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms start to pick up after lunchtime. And we'll see those scattered storms all the way up until about sunset tonight. Once it gets dark, it does look mainly dry, but until then, you can expect those scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs today will be very warm, topping out near 90 degrees, but feeling more like 100 before the rain arrives. With your First Alert Forecast, I'm Action News Jax meteorologist Aaron Clanahan for News 104.5 WOKV.
Now the latest from the Safe Touch Security Traffic Center.
Heading to St. Johns County on 95 South, traffic is easing up, but just not enough. You're in for a slow ride from Old St. Augustine Road to State Road 16. There's a crash just after International Golf Parkway. It is not blocking any lanes. However, you do want to give yourself 45 minutes to get from the Beltway to State Road 16. You're looking at minor delays on the East Beltway South from Butler to Bay Meadows, leaving you with a 10-minute ride from Butler to the 95 exits. And if you're heading through the Arlington on the East Beltway South, you're problem-free with only 11 minutes from Heckscher over the Dames Point to Butler. With Jacksonville's only Saturday traffic, I'm Trish Hobby.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. It's brought to you by St. Vincent's. We appreciate you joining us on this Independence Day weekend, the holiday weekend. We're hoping you're having a good Saturday, even with the rain. It is warm out there, too. We're here with Dr. Brent Beedling,
talking about primary health care and primary physicians. And Dr. Beetling, we've hit on a lot of topics so far, but we want to transition a little bit to some alternatives to primary care.
Yeah, alternatives would be then if you can't either see your primary care because he's unavailable, or maybe as an alternative to a primary care if you don't have one. The first thing that comes to mind is obviously urgent cares or walk-in clinics. Often there will be in your CVS or just you know on your street, usually close to work or to your home, and they can usually handle most simple things, maybe minor injuries, minor self-limited illnesses like a cold or a sinus infection. Maybe if you checked your blood pressure and found it was elevated and got a little bit concerned, that they could easily handle that. Sometimes if you're in between doctors, like you're in between insurances or something like that, they can usually handle just a simple refill for you. They can also do quick physical forms or minor sports physical sometimes, and those things are really good for the urgent care. Now, if it's a more complex problem that maybe you saw an urgent care specialist for, usually it wouldn't be a physician. It may be just an ARNP or a physician assistant. Then it's always good just to follow up with your doctor to say, here was the advice, here was the treatment, I have some lingering symptoms, or I have some questions that weren't really, you know, well covered, or that came up after that visit. It might not always be it's always a good idea to see your provider afterwards. And if you do have a provider, always make sure that urgent care knows who your provider is so that they can drop the provider a line and your provider can review it, which I do commonly on an everyday basis. Also, we have new technology today. We have what we call telemedicine or virtual visits. A lot of people don't know these, but they're newer and they're coming, and we're having a difficult time of really defining it. That's when you can actually call a doctor on the telephone or a nurse, or actually they have kiosk, or you can use your webcam and see what we call a virtual doctor's visit, where you actually see the doctor online, he sees you online. And often this can be used more for secondary opinions or some minor illnesses. And as we develop over time, they're going to be able to do a little bit more. Really, I think they play a minor role right now, and I wouldn't advise patients use them only until we're able to more regulate the industry, because you don't know who you're seeing. And then as we get technology, then they maybe can do blood pressure checks through your computer, or hook you up with an EKG that you will have at home, or an ear scope that can look in your ear. And then the doctor can actually get a more defined picture from these kind of virtual visits. So I think with time, I think they're going to play a more expanded role in our healthcare system.
And you won't get your feelings hurt if one of your patients goes to another one of these alternatives if they have to find a treatment for something. You won't feel cheated on, Dr. Beetling.
Typically, if I'm in the office, we try to work them in. But obviously on Saturdays or Sundays, sometimes our office is not open. So using an urgent care or a walk-in, I would be advisable. I'd probably steer clear of telemedicine. But of course, you know, if they have a critical problem, then I will tell them, you know, don't come into our office. You know, go to the emergency room or go to a crucial care center where they're like an emergency room. Symptoms like that, if you have severe symptoms like severe abdominal pain, diarrhea with fever, you can't hydrate yourself, you have extreme fatigue, if you're in a moving vehicle accident or a severe fall, then probably your best bet would be an emergency room, because you never know when surgery or an orthopedic specialist may need to be activated. If you have symptoms of a stroke, what we call FAST, F-A-S-T, that's your mnemonic, facial droop, arm weakness or leg weakness, sudden loss of feeling in your arm, difficulty speaking, then obviously with something like this, time is critical. So your time to emergency care that you can get in the emergency room is vital. So I would bypass the primary care specialist and go right to emergency room or a critical care. Chest pain the same way, especially if it's in the center of your chest, you're getting lightheaded, you're short of breath, and it's a squeezing in nature or radiates inside that left arm. Severe difficulty breathing, or even sudden swelling of one leg or one arm would be something advisable to go to the emergency room and not wait until you could see your primary care specialist.
Once again, you're listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. It's brought to you by St. Vincent's, and we want you to participate in this show. It is Ask the Doctor, so pick Dr. Beedling's brain. We do have a caller, and you can participate. 904-340-1045. Kathleen is in Orange Park. She's asking about the interaction between primary care and hospitals. Right, Kathleen?
Well, yes, actually, hospitalists. Doctor, thank you for taking the call. Here is my question. To preface it, you earlier mentioned the importance of getting to know your primary doctor, both for the establishment of trust, the rapport that develops there, and then also to improve the accuracy of diagnoses, you know, getting to know the patient, the family situation, and so on. One of the things that I've observed that's happening now in medicine is that when an individual is in hospital for some reason, quite often the care seems to be handled by a physician known as a hospitalist. I have some concerns about that, and I'd appreciate your discussing it a bit. I guess one of the things that concerns me are those very issues that you mentioned earlier concerning the trust and also the knowledge of your background. For example, a hospitalist might be seeing you for the very first time. So how do hospitals deal with that now in terms of interaction between the primary doctor providing information or being on scene? Does the primary doctor still visit the patient in hospital and confer regularly with the hospitalist? What's the big picture?
Kathleen, that's a great point you brought up, because that is a problem. In the old days, hospital care was not so advanced, okay?
Right.
And as a primary care specialist, we used to actually go to the hospital and see our patients, okay? Our days have gotten more busy, not only seeing patients, but bogged down with all the insurance and paperwork that we have. So we really don't have time. Not only that, hospitalists now, because they have to get you in and out of the hospital so quickly, because of your insurance is only going to pay for so much or only allow so much, that there's time is of the essence. So they want somebody there that's there 24/7, like a hospitalist can be. They work usually with teams. And so your primary care can't stop the office, go to the hospital, and come back all throughout his day. It makes it very, very inefficient. And we are trying to get, if you're in the St. Vincent system, you will see the St. Vincent's team of hospitalists that I deal with. So I have a rapport with them, and we do have open access of communication. The communication is improving. It's never going to be to where, you know, we want to know everything at all times as it's happening. I don't think we'll ever get to that point. But sometimes the balls are dropped, and we're working with that. And I'm actually working actively with St. Vincent to trying to improve that. So, but that is part of a major problem now with that handoff. Here in Jacksonville, I will tell you, I know most of the hospitalists in all the hospitals, and people are not aware of this, but Jacksonville has an unbelievable, within the Duval County lines, we have an unbelievable health system. There's not a hospital that I could tell you to avoid here within Duval County. Memorial Hospital is excellent. University of Shands is excellent. Of course, I'm a little partial to St. Vincent's. Baptist is excellent. You have a very, very good healthcare system here, and all the hospitals and most of the providers provide excellent health care. We are really pretty lucky here living in Jacksonville.
Well, thank you. Question, when an individual does go into hospital, of course, I'm assuming that the primary could actually refer the patient over for admission to the hospital if he or she is concerned about the circumstances. You mentioned ER treatment earlier, but let's say it's something of another nature that you just felt the individual needed to be hospitalized for. So now the patient of the primary care doctor is in hospital. To what extent do you have, or let's say they go there, to what extent does the hospitalist there, how soon are they making actual direct contact with you, the primary care doctor, and what degree of input can the patient, for example, request that you be involved in a consult with them, or, you're going to know more about the patient in the overall than the individual who hasn't seen him or her before.
Correct. Usually that day I will get a note from the emergency room doctor as far as an H&P telling me your history, why you came into the hospital, and what the treatment plan line is, the specialists that are going to be involved, they'll typically say that, you know, we're referring to, you know, a cardiologist, the hospitalist is involved, we're referring to a pulmonologist. We're usually within that day. As far as admitting, because of the insurances now, you have to meet certain criteria to come into the hospital. So the primary care can't say, just take this person into the hospital. And the emergency room is typically the person that will say, okay, this patient has this, this, and this. This meets the requirements of your insurance. We can admit this patient to the hospital. I have a problem with that, obviously, as a physician that wants the best for my patients, but this is the system that we're living in, unfortunately, and it's a fight. It's a battle that me and my patients fight every single day to get good quality health care within a system that needs much more defining and improvement. It's a work in progress, and that is frustrating both on a provider as well as a patient aspect, and I see it every day, and it is difficult sometimes to get up and go to work and fight that battle. But, you know, just knowing that I can get up and I can benefit someone's life each day makes me still try to overcome these obstacles that we do face. And that's a great point you brought up.
And we really appreciate the call. And you can chat with Dr. Beedling as well. We are at 904-340-1045. That's 340-1045. It's Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5. WOKV. And Dr. Beedling, you were talking a little earlier about the alternatives to primary care.
Yeah, one alternative I would like to touch on is what I call Dr. Google. Everyone does
Google.
Dr. Google, baby. It's that search that you do on Google. I have this. Women more often than men do it. More than 52% of men, when they have a symptom, the first thing they do too is search Dr. Google. Women, it's about 68-70%. Sometimes this is good. Sometimes this is bad. A lot of the information that you get is very, very poor. Blog sites, it's less than 25-20% accurate. Some of the more prominent quote healthcare sites that have good names behind it, it's usually only 68-70% accurate, and that's if you've pretty much got a good diagnosis, which is very good to diagnose. So I encourage my patients to take an active role in their healthcare and do that search. Okay, see what they come up with, and then be honest with your doctor. What did you find, or what are you concerned about when you do see him? One of my favorite GI specialists once told me, you know, it's always, you know, the patient comes in or they call or they have this symptom that's gas. It's probably gas, but it's always good to check with the doctor, because if it's not gas, you could be in deep doo-doo. That's edited for radio, if you
nice.
Know what I mean.
Dr. Beedling, you're getting the hang of this really quickly. One of those alternatives you were talking about was telemedicine, which you cautioned a bit, because there's still a lot that we don't know with the technology and the regulation and that sort of thing. We actually have a caller with a question about telemedicine. Jim is in Julington Creek. What do you have, Jim?
Well, it's as much a comment as it is a query, is that you lose track of the cost. I have a $4,000 deductible, and for me to get on the phone, it's been $30 with a teledoc, provided a number through my insurance, and you can do research on the physicians they have on there, versus going to my Baptist Healthcare and spend $125 or $130 for the guy to tell me I have a sinus infection. You're losing track of the economics that everybody has to deal with in today's market, and telemedicine is going to be a wave of the future. We've had nothing but good luck, and we steer our employees to call them up and utilize them.
No, you're absolutely right. The cost effectiveness of telemedicine or virtual visits is definitely less than your primary care specialist. It's usually under $50. And the health insurance companies are typically trying to steer their patients towards it, because it obviously helps their bottom line. Like I said, there is a role for telemedicine. I will say that telemedicine and virtual visits where you're using a webcam, like I said, has to be more defined. It's not regulated. You don't know if the doctors that you're seeing are board certified. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. Whether or not they're in state or out of state, most states have rules where they could be in state. Soon it'll be whether maybe they could be in India. They could be a foreign doctor. That hasn't opened up yet, but I'm sure that that's going to be in the future as it expands. The other things, they're very, very limited. I don't think that doctor on the telephone could have looked in your sinuses or looked in your ear or looked in your sore throat. You could have had something else. It could have been something else. I'm not saying that there's not a role. Like I said, there is, and it is going to be a wave of the future. And I think that it's going to expand as we have more home technologies where you can hook an EKG up to your computer and he can see the rhythm of your heart. Or you can have a scope at home so you can put it up to your mouth and they can look at it. Or they can look at a rash or things like that that we really can't do right now without seeing the patient. I agree with you. I think that there is a role. And because we're trying to bring down the cost of medicine, you're absolutely right. It will be more cost effective. I can do a virtual visit or a telephone conversation and see a patient in 7 minutes that would take, you know, maybe 20, 25 minutes within the office. So I can increase the number of patients that I can come into contact with and benefit throughout the day just by doing these things. So that's a very good point you brought up.
Thanks for the call, Jim. We really appreciate it. We know we have some callers on hold trying to talk to Dr. Biedling. It's Ask the Doctor. We'll get to more of those when we come back. And we're also going to talk about how to find a primary care doctor. We'll get to that next.
The best overall news station in all of Florida.
The Monday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News.
Your home for news, traffic, and weather.
But there's a crash just before.
As the investigation moves forward.
News 104.5 WOKV.
When I was just a kid, my father told me that I should become a lawyer so that I can make a difference in someone's life. And when he passed away, I was in high school. Chuck was 9. You know, we were there home with Mom trying to understand what just happened, feeling alone and scared when there was a ring on our front door. It was Dad's probate lawyer. I'll never forget how it felt to have someone come into our home who was there for my dad and us. It was a powerful mixture of relief and hope. He was so much more than just a lawyer to me. And now when Chuck and I have an opportunity to make a personal visit to a victim's home, I go back to that moment when that doorbell rang and how it felt to know that someone was there when we needed them the most. And how privileged we are now to be more than just a lawyer to our clients. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family. Call us at 396-5555. Jacksonville.
Want to go somewhere really fascinating? Why not visit your own country? Book a trip on Amtrak. Frame-worthy views come standard with every ticket. So does extra legroom. Plus, you can recharge your phone and yourself. And right now, saver fares from Jacksonville are only $26 to Orlando, $93 to Washington, D.C., and $110 in New York. Restrictions apply. Just visit Amtrak.com. 500 destinations, infinite stories. Amtrak. See where the train can take you.
WOKV First Alert Forecast.
Today is a 6 on the WOKV weather meter. It is going to be hot and humid with scattered heavy showers and thunderstorms moving through the area as early as lunchtime today. Right now, temperatures are in the 80s. It is humid out there, and you can expect those storms to start to pick up after 1, 2 o'clock, and they will continue up until about sunset tonight. With your First Alert Forecast, I'm Action News Jax meteorologist Aaron Clanahan for News 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back. It is Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's. I'm John Engel. You hear me afternoons and evenings on WOKV, and I'm joined by Dr. Brent Biedling. We've been taking your calls and talking about primary care and primary care physicians. And to finish up the show today, it's been a good hour. We've had a lot of fun. We're going to talk about what are the things you need to be doing in choosing a primary care physician, how to find that doctor that you can then build these relationships with that we've been talking about for the last hour and how important that is, Dr. Beatman.
Yeah, it is important. And I can tell you that usually the most common method is where are they located and can I get an appointment with them when I want to see them? And those are important things. But typically you're going to see someone that's either close to work or close to your home and someone that you can get an appointment on X day for that first appointment that you have time to go in and see. Now, although I would take they do take some priority, I would always put that the most important thing you want to look for is the education of your provider. Obviously, in anything that you do, the better the credentials, the better the odds are that you're going to get good quality care. So I would go ahead and take a look at where did they go to college, where did they go to medical school, are they board certified, and where did they do their residency. The other thing is, always keep in mind, is some of the specialists, like internists and family practitioners, sometimes have added specialties. Sometimes it's sports medicine, sometimes it's geriatric care, sometimes it's pain management or palliative care. So if these are things that are prominent towards your health, then you may want to consider someone that has, like, added certification credentials as far as treating certain areas of medicine. The other thing that I would look at is you probably want to pick someone in network if you can. So your plan typically has doctors that are in network, and those in networks are usually either a minimal copay or a lesser copay than some of the outer out of network. This is another part of our health care. We were promised that if you had a doctor, you would keep your doctor. Well, that may not always be the case, obviously, today, especially if you're switching insurances on a regular basis through your company or different employment or on the exchange systems. So you still keep in mind, though, you can almost always still go to the out of network. And if you have a provider that you have been with for years, you trust them and it's your health, you may want to do that. It's usually not that much more costly. It may be a 10% more or something like that. So it's usually not exorbitant. So if you have someone you really trust, I would probably tell you to stick with that doctor. I do know my dad was a gynecologist here in town, and obviously with women's health, sometimes women really don't want to see another provider. And he had people from France and overseas coming to see him, from the West Coast here and coming to see him here in Jacksonville. He had a pretty large network of people that were very, very comfortable with him. And that's a special relationship that's developed over and over time. The other thing is coworkers and friends that you trust and you have the same health views at, see who they've had good results with. That's always good. I would advise, lastly, to avoid the blogs. You're dealing with people that on these blog sites, they
could be anyone.
Correct. And they can't judge quality of medical care. What they find in surveys is people rate their experience based on location, access, the cleanliness of the building, and the friendliness of the staff. Doctors' quality came in last on that set of five, because that's really difficult to judge. It's no more than I can judge if a mechanic did good work on my car, not being a mechanic or an engineer, than I could as someone coming in and did I get good advice from my doctor. Maybe time will tell, but do you want to waste that time?
Right, better safe than sorry.
Got that right.
Dr. Beatling, it's been a lot of fun having you here. We appreciate it. You can always find Dr. Brent Beatling here in Jacksonville, too. St. Vincent's Primary Care on the South Side. Give them a call, 904-450-8900, 450-8900. Jacksonville native, go support him. Go ask him some questions. Don't self-diagnose. It's been Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.